Hello world, we are back with another episode of Being Frank the podcast, where you can be bold, honest, and unmistakable. As always, it's your girl Malika X, bringing you this dope content and continuing with a new series. This is part 3 of the series, and I'm so happy to be back with you guys this week. Just keep me lifted in prayer. I've been going through a lot. But I want to continue to grind and continue to hustle to keep the podcast going. So know that I'm always doing that and making sure behind the scenes things are right. Last week we had a little bit of technical difficulties, and this week we are too. So just push through, be patient and understanding, because behind all of that is some really, really rich discussion about topics that I think are really important, not only to me, but I'm sure to someone else out there. I don't want to go into it too much, but remember the quote from my professor: everybody ain't gonna make it, just make sure you're not one of them. And with that being said, let's get into the show. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another week of Being Frank the podcast. We have a special guest today. Hello.
What's up, baby?
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing much better today. I'm hanging in there, baby. But I just want to thank you for being here. As you know, we are switching gears in this series and moving on to, I guess, a little deeper part of me, just kind of revealing a different layer to my onion of a life, peeling back those layers and showing the people a different side versus, you know, sometimes we get caught up in just the LGBTQ part and forget that we are much more than that. So I wanted to switch it up for the people. What do you think about the series so far?
I've enjoyed the series so far.
Awesome. So we're going to give the people a little bit more of us and some insight to our human experience. But before we begin, we got to introduce you. So give the guests, the listeners, a little background on who they're going to hear from this week, because we always switch it up each week.
All right. So my friends know me as JP.
Yes.
I'm probably one of the older friends in the group.
No pun intended, but a lot of that. We got some babies, and we got some more seasoned folks in the group. You know, we don't hold it against the youngest too much. Sometimes
we don't. You know, we've all lived lives, some more extensively than others, but it is what it is.
Right. Everybody has something to bring to the table too, and we honor that.
We do. We do. We're all pretty much cool people in our own regard.
Right. So, JP, just give the people some background. Give them, you know, just tell them a little bit about what you do, where you're from, and all of that.
So, I'm from a little town in Charleston that sits on the sea called Owendaw. And right, currently, I work as a producer in the news industry.
Okay. And a producer in the news industry. Let's talk about that little town of Owendaw, because it does sit on the sea and it's known for blue crabs. And if you ever been to Charleston, South Carolina, that is like a huge thing for the culture down here. I'm not from here, and I had to learn how to, you know, shuck my own oysters,
break my own
crab backs. Like, that's a whole different lifestyle.
Like, if you can't eat blue crabs, don't even come to the table.
Right. And they tell you that they're not about to be busting down crabs for you. They look
correct
at you like, bitch, you gonna starve.
Correct.
You better learn how to do this yourself.
Like, go ahead and wait on those crab legs if you want.
Right, because it ain't about the snow crab legs.
It is not.
Legs. This is not the culture here. It is about the blue crabs here, baby.
We need you to break that back, get down to that cheese.
Yes.
And go for it.
Right. Don't eat the dead man.
Don't eat the dead man.
All right. I had to learn that.
It's not going to kill you, contrary to its name.
Right, but they had you, the old folks, and people had you thinking that it's poison. So right. I was always scared, like, what is the dead man?
Right. Just don't eat it. Doesn't taste good.
Child. So, yes, Allendale has this Blue Crab Festival every year. Your family and people out there, like, they throw it, and then they do it big. And it's, I went one time since I've been here, and I'm so mad. I think last year was my first year ever going to that. Invited me and Kaya out to that, and it was amazing.
Yes, actually, first year was the first year we did it. We didn't do it by the water. The town is actually building a new location that has like its own lake. And so, you know, all the profits stay within the town itself.
Black people doing it, black run, you know, black money, staying in the black community, black owned land out there. I just am just like, I love seeing black people that way. I know it's country to some folks, but it's one of those things that we have taken for granted. And one day we'll look around and the white people will have taken it all from us.
Funny that you say that, because that's what's kind of what's going on in that community now. You know, people thinking more about retirement and want to, you know, get away from the city life and go to the country life. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they want what we have, but then they don't want to pay us for what we have.
Mm-mm. Pay us nickels. And then put some on it and charge millions of dollars to.
Correct.
In that area, or lease something in that area. But it is a beautiful little place. If you haven't been there, right off of Highway 17, going through one of the coastal zones. What would you consider that area? Marsh coastal zone?
There's a few marshes.
Intercoastal highway, I feel like. It's just beautiful.
Yep, I'd say it's intercoastal. You know, you have access to... You have access to water all around you, no matter where you
right.
are.
It's beautiful if y'all haven't been there. So, beautiful little town that made you, that grew you. You know, one of my goals that people don't even understand the depth of our relationship, and I'm going to get into that. But before we do, I want you to, I don't know how much you want to talk about what you do, but we kind of skimmed over what you do. You work in the news industry, and it's not easy. You know, you
it's work not.
A different type of life than we do. You get up at different hours to give us.
I do, but I'm appreciative of the life that I have, mm-hmm. and I'm appreciative of the position that I hold within my company. Mm-hmm. And, you know, without going into which company I work for.
Right.
I'm just thankful that, you know, as a black male, I have the opportunity to broadcast stories that I feel, you know, reflect me, or stories that concern me, or people that look like
yes.
me.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, we're not always as fortunate to have, you know, our stories told.
Representation, right?
Correct.
And the people in your position producing, or, you know, writing.
Correct.
So back there handling the stories, making the big decisions, but to have somebody like you there behind the scenes. To say, no, we're going to pull this and really highlight that.
Correct.
Or, you know, I mean, that I just say is a commendable job. Like, we all do things that we don't realize affect, like, the big picture of what comes out on the other end. And your job is one of those jobs that people don't even think about. When I grow up, I want to be, you know. And
Correct.
You make huge decisions about what we view, and media affects life.
Correct. Right? And, you know, in my journey into media, it was life that brought me here. It wasn't what I wanted to do growing up as a little boy, playing wrestling in the backyard with my cousins, or, you know, as a little boy who traveled the world with his dad as a firefighter. Like, that, mm-hmm. That wasn't little JP's dream. JP wanted to be a doctor. Then he thought he wanted to work in the business world. But then life happened. Shit got thrown around. He got mm-hmm. JP got caught in a tornado, but once the wind subsided and, you know, the tree stood still, we stopped. JP, he started walking up this path where, you know, he was able to help tell other people's stories. And so, you know, it became not about him so much, about what he could do for the next generation.
Wow.
Wow, that goes great with the series, which is titled Be the One. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about how we, you know, in our circle of friends, you know, each one of us provides a very unique perspective and experience to life and our seat at the table. And when we come around and we dialogue and we have these rich discussions, I mean, we just bring just a wealth of knowledge, and everybody is in these different worlds and walks of life. And then we come together as, I feel like, a super crew or some type of, I don't know, superhero team or whatever, when we join forces.
When our powers unite.
Right. We form Captain Planet. I remember that. Now we showing our age.
I know.
We are the seasoned ones of the crew. We watch Captain Planet for all of y'all out there that don't know what that is.
But you know what?
When we come together, we form Voltron, because that's...
There you go. But you know what, Malika? You can't have a good dish without some good seasoning. So we're good.
That's right, honey. We make the meat, honey. We make it what it is.
We are good.
So moving in, you know, last series we talked about with my girls, you know, in the AO community. And we talked about a lot of other things under the rainbow, so to speak. But I do ask each of my guests, for just the record, and when I ask them to give their background, you know, how they identify, just to kind of add a different layer and perspective to when we walk through these different lives and people see us in our workplaces, they don't often know us, you know, they just see us.
Correct.
So just to add a little bit more sauce to that seasoning.
Okay.
and add some more flavor. I just like to mix it up and just lay it out there so we are authentic selves, and we are not really, you know, being frank. It's about being who you are 100% and adding that identity piece, because we don't go around tooting it on a bullhorn when we're in our workplaces or even when we're at the gym or, you know, on the sidelines rooting for our nieces and nephews when they're at their t-ball games or whatever.
Right.
But we are a part of your communities, you know? So tell the people how you identify.
So I don't even know if my friends know this, but I don't identify.
Mm.
Like, I'm me.
I respect that.
Like, I don't
respect that.
Like, I don't know if you all ever paid attention, but like, I've just never labeled myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel as society, well, other portions of society don't label themselves, so why should I? Like, I am who I am.
Exactly. And I know that, you know, for the sake of labels, or that is like no label, and some of, well, a few of the girls, when I had them on the show in the previous episodes, that's
which girls?
I know La, she considered herself no label.
I want to know if you're talking about girls or the girls.
Oh, honey, not the girls. We haven't had any no label the girls, honey, but we mean the boys that are the girls. But La, like the lesbian no label, for the sake of not having a label, you are no label. And we know there are other ways to identify out there without having those labels and those constraints. So, and this is, you know, gender specific, and I am only fucking with this, and this is how I roll.
You know, like, just from my aspect, I feel like sometimes we try to create labels for things that we don't understand, that that kind of helps us, I guess, feel better about it, or maybe...
I'm snapping over here. Speak, preach, brother.
So, you know, like, even just growing up, I think about the time, maybe when I first thought, you know, maybe the opposite sex was attractive, or the same sex was attractive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I recall dealing with both of those emotions growing up. And of course, you know, growing up in a small country town, you having thoughts or opinions about the same sex was frowned upon. So of course, you know, sometimes those feelings can be pushed to the back of our minds. But eventually what's in you will come out, huh?
Right. Hey, what one of our good friends say, well, don't come out in the wash.
Come out in the rinse.
Yes.
Yes, you gotta wait till our cycle is complete.
That's right. Not until it's complete. And only God knows when that is going to be, honey.
Okay.
So, as we get it, because this series is not that, but I do want my listeners to understand that we bring a wealth of knowledge and understanding just based on living, you know, our lives. Like, everybody has something to bring to the table or an experience to have that they've had, that they've learned something from. So, and we get into Be the One, and I've thought about, like, just the many experiences that I went through and how, like, I've survived different things. And, you know, people know me as a survivor of cancer, but I feel like every day is survival, you know, and I'm not in the hood, and I'll get to my story at the end of all of this, but there were many things that we have to survive just through this human experience. So I don't want it to just be limiting into that, just that small aspect.
Right.
Though it's huge piece of my life, but it's something very small that all of these other moments helped me get there. And that's why I was able to fight and win, you know?
And you know, and that's my thing too, you know, everybody's fighting something. You know, it may not be as great as fighting cancer or you know, fighting who people say you are versus who you feel you are. You know, some people deal with depression. Some people are fighting to save a relationship. You know, some people are just fighting to have a sense of peace.
Yes.
So, you know, if we can't all agree on, you know, as to who we are as a people, we can all agree that we all go through something.
Yeah. So what are three things that come to mind for you that you've survived, that you fought and survived as you look back on, you know, our season life? Is we are still young. I'm forever young, y'all. The kids keep me young, honey.
I would say the big thing that I survived is myself.
Why do you say that? Tell us.
Just with life. I know that, you know, I had a pretty sheltered life growing up. My parents, I lived in a two-parent home. My parents both worked, did really well for themselves. You know, they afforded my sisters and I a pretty good life. We traveled, vacation, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I went to college, and then I became Jason. Oh, God. I became Jason. And so, you know, it's like I went through these experiences where, you know, I met different people and, you know, they were able to, I guess, intrigue my interest. And when they were able to find out what my interests were, and, you know, I found out that they were able to uphold me to this lifestyle, it was kind of, I saw myself one way and living one way, when in reality, that wasn't my life.
What do you think your life was? Well, first of all, what was the lifestyle that they, I guess, expose you to, or you guys created for yourselves?
Like, I remember this one time dating somebody older. You know, I got the designer gifts, like, every week. I got to go on a trip, you know, every Friday, you know, they come pick me up. We go to the airport. I didn't even know where we were going half the time. So, you know, and just getting these gifts without having to work for them. And, you know, like, nice gifts are nice. I like, everybody likes nice things, whether they want to admit it or not. You know, it doesn't have to be,
I like nice things, Joe.
You know, like, it doesn't have to be a Gucci watch or anything, but, you know, people like nice things. And yeah. I think I got caught up in that hype at one time. And so, you know, I kind of live that way, you know. I had to step back from what was going on and say, Jason, like, get a hold of yourself before you lose yourself. Because, you know, I'm a country boy, so I grew up walking around outside with no shoes on. I drank from the water spigot, not a hose, a spigot.
A spigot, honey, because we ain't call it a spigot. We had a hose now. I was in the city. I'm a city girl, but we drank out the water hose, though.
See, y'all had the hose is the attachment. The spigot is just where the water.
Right.
Correct.
Yes.
So, you know, so, like, that wasn't my life. So just finding my way back to myself.
What was that you found your way back to? So you were felt like, you know, that was something that, you know, we're not going to say we don't like, or that's not something that we still enjoy. But what was it that you had to find and ground yourself back in when you think about, you know, where you were brought up in your foundation? When you
because
what does that mean?
Because I felt like getting gifts and going on nice trips became my priority. But then it was like, Jason, that's not how you were raised. Like, you know, your life has meaning. You're here to help others. Like, you know, your parents always made you volunteer. You know, you're always giving back to your community. And so that's when I had to come back to what made me happy and what gave me a sense of peace. And that was, you know, making sure that I was helping somebody else. Not somebody else coming up after me to not experience what I had to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I say experience what I had to, I was not in an abusive relationship like that. That's not my story.
Right.
I just know sometimes we can get sidetracked with life when we're introduced to something new.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that shiny new toy, you know, like it's good for the first, 6 months. And after that, we're on something else.
These days, the first week, that toy be pushed to the side and they looking for a new one.
Right. So it was all about getting myself recentered and refocused and finding my purpose and helping others.
What did you learn when you got recentered and finding your purpose? What did you learn that your purpose was? What was that?
News really helped me to find my purpose. I've been fortunate enough. I've never been called a nigger in my life.
And that's news, honey, for the living in South Carolina, south of Mason Dixon,
right.
Red State, and in the area that we are in.
Correct.
Austin, honey, with all these plantations and the history of slavery, baby. I cannot believe that.
Like, you know, they may have,
even in the North, we get called niggas. Don't sleep.
Like, don't get me wrong. They may have called me a nigger, but nobody's ever called me a nigger to my face.
Right. But no, I've heard it being yelled out of a car window on my college campus before. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
And I'm in Ohio.
Gotcha.
And, you know, we kind of think of it only happens in the South. No, it
right.
happens in North to us too.
Correct.
It happens on both ends.
It's just so more prevalent. It's just more prevalent in the South.
Yeah, that's surprising when you say you never had it happen to you, especially being in this area.
Correct. So you know, I've been fortunate enough to not ever have been called a nigger. I'm sorry, Malika. Uncle duties aren't in full effect right now. Sorry.
Oh, the babies are there.
One of them is.
Okay, the twins. He got he's an uncle with twins, a girl and a boy. So who's there?
The boy Ryan.
Okay. Oh, the girl looked just like you though.
Yeah, she does. I'm sorry. So what was your question again?
Just thinking about the things we survive, and I was like kind of probing a little bit more, and you said you had to survive yourself and
get back
into that piece. And was there anything deeper, like with self, that you learned that you can now, like, I've accepted this about my background, my upbringing. I really am, like, proud, not to say you weren't proud of being a country boy, but there's a lot of honor and heritage and, you know, just culture there that we kind of shoot to the side and say, I want the big city life, or that's not for me anymore because now I'm educated and I'm not from those parts, you know?
I've never been called a nigger, but back up 4 years ago, this woman was killed one Saturday morning while she was at work. They killed her in a bakery. The suspects ran away. I was actually in Charleston that weekend. When I came back on Monday to go to work, it was raining. I had on a hoodie. I met a friend for breakfast at Lizard Thicket. You know, like, we're in there having breakfast, just drinking coffee, just talking, catching up. And I noticed, like, these police officers outside of Lizard Thicket. But I thought nothing of it because Sled's right up the street. And so, you know, I'm a pretty stand-up guy for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, I see the two officers pull up, and then about three more cars pull in, and then maybe, like, another two, and then maybe, like, another four.
Mm.
And so, you know, like, I'm still thinking nothing of it at the time. But then eventually they start checking the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
So they check the perimeter, and then all of a sudden they're, like, 12 cops. like 12 flood angels at my table.
Wow.
And so, you know, unbeknownst to me, the murder happened over the weekend. Mm-hmm. But somebody called and said that the murder suspect was at Lizard Thicket. Lo and behold, I was the murder suspect.
Wow.
So I was frisked. Like they put me against the wall, frisked me in the restaurant. You know, as I'm sitting there eating breakfast like any other person in the restaurant is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was at that point that made me realize, okay, yes, you have been blessed with a fortunate life.
Yes.
Brought
up well.
But in the eyes of others, you're just mm-hmm. a black nigga.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that moment that kind of changed the way that I produce shows. Because it's like, you know, how many other Jasons are out there that are being frisked or stopped just because of what they look like.
Right.
And the description they had of the guy is he's about 6'3". And anybody knows me knows I'm nowhere near 6'3".
Not 6'3". But I think that's another survival thing or thing that you survive or you know, as a black man, mm-hmm. is so many other things that you probably overlook. Like, that's not something I survived. Nigga, getting stopped by the police like that when it's a murder suspect on the loose and you are, that's a survival tale right there. If
nothing it is.
Okay.
And then
some
even,
people don't get to go home from that.
And even me in my situation, just because I'm typically a reserved person, I think, you know, it played out okay for me. But who's to think, you know, if anybody else who is not as calm as I am or who may be a little more expressive, how would have
been? Or just frustrated that why am I a law-abiding citizen, taxpayer, you know,
paying your fucking check.
Right. I'm here enjoying my meal and now I'm embarrassed. All of this shit is going down. I'm with some people or, you know, that don't, you know me like that. And I'm getting pulled over by the cops and I have every right to be mad at this point. You know,
correct.
We have a right to be mad. Don't correct. Be now looking at me sideways because I'm upset. I have a reason to be upset. So the fact that you held it together speaks volumes to just how we've been taught to and trained, honestly, mm-hmm. to, you know, just comply and don't say nothing. Just, you know, stay calm and all of that shit when we have every really right to be mad.
And you know, and
don't survive if you get mad.
And you know, and I think about the way I was brought up, and I just hope that, you know, eventually there's going to be a generation that doesn't have to have that conversation with, you know, their kids or their nieces or nephews about how to be with cops or, you know, how you should carry yourself out in public where, you know, everybody else can express themselves and, you know, they're just young people living their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, when we want to do it, we're thuggish, we're dumb, we're illiterate.
Or a threat, you know,
or we're ratchet.
All on you. Like, what does she think or he think? Like, why was it even a thought that I just committed a murder and I'm going to come in here in this restaurant, public place, and order a breakfast?
Because,
like, that doesn't even really make sense. But we see that going on even now in the news. Like,
correct. So their rationale was when the guy did it, he had an orange hoodie. Well, I had on a hoodie too that was kind of, it was like a pink color.
But I'm going to keep on the same thing I had.
And that's what I said. So I was like, so you mean to tell me I go and kill somebody, but I'm keep those clothes I had on surveillance video that's being shown, and I'm just going to walk around in public like I'm invincible?
Child.
So yeah, so I guess with that, I can say I survived myself. I survived society.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess I can always say I survived my family.
What do you mean by that?
You know, just I had to become comfortable with being me.
Mm-hmm.
Not worrying about what anybody says. And I also understand with me being comfortable with me is that making sure that, you know, they're comfortable with whomever I bring around. Because, you know, if they're my friend, then they're my friend. You know, if I choose to bring them around, they're here because I want them to be here.
Uh-oh. You there, JP?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, you know, just make sure everybody was comfortable with whomever I brought around and that, you know, there's no talking in the background or being shady when they come around. Like, you know, these are my friends. So y'all need to respect them as such.
Right.
Because, you know, I come from a very Christian-based family. And so, you know, especially here.
And like, your granny prayed for me. Boy, did she do a mighty powerful prayer the other day. I've been going through it, y'all. That's, and when I tell you, Jason's grandmother, you need a praying grandmother. I don't have my granny anymore, but I thank God for praying. We're praying grandmothers, honey.
That's one. Woo. That's one thing that she would always instill in us. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
That's right. And she did that for me. But I feel like even with her and you calling her for me, she was like, baby, I feel like I know you.
And she's a sweet lady. She's very grounded in her principles and her beliefs, but she's a very sweet lady.
And was it more out of fear for you that you felt like they weren't going to like accept your friends or the people you brought around versus
letting it happen
and something came up?
It's not fear. I think it was more of a respect issue with me.
Okay.
Like I've brought people I've dated around my family. Okay. I've always made sure that I not to say act accordingly, but you know, kind of dial it back a little.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I know it could be a, not a hard pill to swallow, but you know, it could take some getting used to.
Okay.
And you know, my family's very reserved.
Right.
So you,
and when you say getting used to, you mean having a partner around.
Correct.
Okay. So not like me coming around, like I'm a loud friend. I'm a little bit hood, but I'm book smart, but I get hood when I'm comfortable around my people, my black people.
I mean, you met my dad before. You know how he gets that.
Right.
So, you know, like, that's not an issue. You know, it's the whole, I think it's the whole religious thing. Especially here in the South, you know, people are tied to their religion, married to it, whatever the case may be. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things, once you're taught, it's instilled in you, and some people don't seek understanding of the they take in the
outside
lesson.
Of that
they take in the lesson, but they don't seek understanding for themselves, and so you know, it's just one of those things, finding that balance within my family.
Yeah, I think we all still do that because I feel like with our generation, and it might be a lost art, where we still honor that piece and want to be sure that we're being respectful. I see some of the younger, not all the kids, but some of the younger kids, they really don't respect and value their elders in that same way.
They don't.
That might be something where we are still, you know, looking as adults even, because we're grown as fuck, but we still like want to make sure we're honoring and respecting our elders and our parents' wishes, especially when we're in their houses and their spaces.
Right. You know, like my grandma, she doesn't play that sagging pants stuff, but my cousin thinks it's okay to bring her friends to the house like that. And my grandma be like, Jason, go talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, nigga, you need to pull your pants up.
Right.
Like, it's not okay.
And Jason the enforcer, so he gonna let you know. You got to pull your pants up, my granny said, or you got to go.
Are you, bruh? Now you know I'm not a big guy, but I don't let people intimidate me at all.
No, you don't. We done had some encounters, baby, where I mean, I look to you sometime and I'm like, what we gonna do?
like
we gonna make a move. We gonna have to ride down on you.
We had a few.
Thank God for like just, you know, grace and mercy and just change and deliverance.
Thank God for Jesus.
Listen, I come a long way, baby. I come a long way, honey.
We have.
And I know we talked about some really deep issues, but we laugh and we joke. We always play, and it's sometimes things that we just survive. And I think just everyday things of our friendship and over time, things that we just don't even realize. Like, I just thank God for having people in my corner like y'all. You know, the other day you was like, if you're going through something, let me know. I'll be there. And I just thank you for that. I don't know if you know how much that means without getting too choked up on the podcast, but that meant a lot because it's hard to do it by myself sometimes.
I know, and you know, like, we're family, so you shouldn't have to do it by yourself. And you know, just like families, you know, we may not speak to each other every day, but the love is always there.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and hell, I mean, my job's going to keep going whether I'm right. or not. So it's like, I have the time when I'm going to take it.
Right. And I think we all need to realize that with our work, you know, like we need to enjoy life and experiences with our people around us while we can. And work going to keep going. You better take that time off. I know I have to slow down and take care of me.
Yep.
Ciao.
I think everybody, that's a lesson everybody needs to learn, though.
Exactly. Because that's what really matters most. And I think that's where I was going
yep.
next. Like, just really discovering what matters most in life.
Mm-hmm. I think we all get a part of that rat race, you know. Everybody wants to make the money. Everybody wants to live that good life. And then sometimes we lose sight of, you know, what life is all about making memories and, you know, those lasting friendships and connections.
That's right. So my last part that I do with this series, I ask the guests, and I've had three guests, but two shows.
Okay.
So it's been different with each person because everybody, you know, everybody is unique and we're all unicorns. We bring something absolutely different and amazing. But it catch people off guard. I don't know why, because this series is titled Be the One. So you gave us a little bit of background about how you were the one who survived these different things, although there are many other things that you didn't get a chance to share.
Mm-hmm.
And even within our friendship and our relationship, we've had so many different memories and things that have happened over the course. I feel like it's been a good 5 to 6 years. I feel like at least six. I'm thinking six. A solid five, maybe six, because I've been in Charleston now 8. But I feel like we've been kicking it for like 6 years now. And it's been a joy and a journey. But
I remember our first official outing together without like any
of the friends. Don't talk about that, because we didn't talk about that. What was our first official outing?
It was an event at Hugie's downtown on King Street.
Just me and you, though.
Yes.
But that's not when we first met. I remember that outing.
No, I was saying that was our first outing together without anybody else being around.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. Woo! Because I learned a mighty good lesson that night.
Mm-hmm. What was the lesson you learned?
I learned that if, you know, people want, your time is very important, right?
It is
valuable.
It is.
Say that it's extremely valuable. And if someone wants to take any fraction of it and have it for themselves from you, it has value. So
it
you
does.
Should have something in return for it.
Correct.
Because you can never get that time back.
I'll never get it back. And depending on what we did with that time, you know, it's something I have to deal with for the rest of my life.
Exactly. So there should be some type of exchange for my time. So
correct. There's always a give and take in every relationship. And if there's no give and take in your relationships, then you need to think about why you're in these relationships.
That's right. And you should be getting something. It should be reciprocal. And
correct.
I'm not saying it has to be any shiny toy.
Correct.
But baby, that time is worth. Is priceless. Let's just say that it's priceless. And I remember your three fingers, your thumb, your forefinger and middle finger rubbing together from across the room. I could see you doing that and looking somebody square in the face. Baby, that's when I knew you ain't play no motherfucking game with these switches.
But the funny thing is, you were going to the restroom.
But no, I came back and I was walking back. Remember, that's when it all went down when I got up from the table.
But that's what I'm saying. You went to the restroom, and I guess people that were at the party decided that was the perfect time for them to come and have a talk with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I expected the talk to be very fast and for the talk to have dissolved by the time you came back.
Mm-hmm.
But you came back as I was wrapping up.
Baby, I don't miss a beat. You was wrapping up and that was all I needed to see. I understood everything that happened while I was in the restroom. That's all I needed to see. I need to hear the whole conversation.
Sometimes you don't even need to hear it.
So with that being said, here's the statement. Let's finish this podcast with be the one who change that statement for me. Be the one who, or be the one to.
Be the one to help make the changes that you desire in society. I know all of us are given, you know, different talents. Mm-hmm. You know, you are a great writer. So, you know, it's like, hey, let me have Malika, you know, Malika, let me have her proofread this. You know, I know my talent. I'm very well connected. Mm-hmm. You know, I may not be a Barack Obama or a Martin Luther King, but, you know, maybe it's my job to help uplift the next Barack Obama or Martin Luther King. You know, I may be able to put them in touch with somebody who can help them with their campaign or, you know, help them with their writing, you know, for their speeches. So it's all about taking your God-given talents and just making it useful and making good use of it for the world and the community that you live in, just to be that change you want to see.
Awesome. That's all I have. Thank you for being frank with me today and joining me on this week's episode. Is there anything you want to clear up, any shameless plugs or shout-outs you want to do? I always take the last couple seconds to ask my guests if they want to plug or drop a social media handle or anything like that you into, boo. Go right ahead.
No shameless plugs as of yet. Check back in about 6 months. But you all can follow me on Instagram as Jason the Producer.
All right, Jason the Producer. Thank you so much, baby. Love you.
Love you too, Leeks.
That's our show for this week. Hopefully someone walked away with something meaningful and a better understanding of the topics we discussed. Remember, I'm going to keep grinding and keep hustling to give you this dope content. If you have questions, remember legit questions, you can always send those in to social@beingfrankmedia.com. Again, that's social, S-O-C-I-A-L, at Being Frank Media. You can now find this podcast on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Public Radio, y'all. Your girl doing her thing. Remember to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Being Frank Media, where you can be bold, honest, and unmistakable. Peace.